Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the political cesspool radio program. We're back in home, at home tonight here in Memphis, Tennessee, after a very busy 2 weeks, to say the least. 2 weeks ago, of course, they were undergoing construction here at our flagship radio station. And so we played a classic rebroadcast featuring interviews with Edmund Connolly, Kevin MacDonald, and Pat Buchanan. That was 2 weeks ago tonight. Of course, last week, we conducted an absolutely exhilarating live remote broadcast from Nashville, Tennessee at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference. And we, of course, have been basking in the glow of that show for the last 7 days. We've plugged it a couple of times on the website for you to visit it and listen to it in the broadcast archives if you weren't on hand in person. But anyway, an unusual 2 weeks with us being out 2 weeks ago playing a tape show due to construction here, and then last week being on the road in Nashville. So it's been 3 weeks now since we have broadcast to you from our flagship station. But here we are again tonight, and it's great to be home, relaxed and rested, and we're ready to go with another great broadcast this evening. Tonight's featured guest, who we'll be showcasing during the second hour, will be our good friend Richard Spencer. He's going to be joining us to discuss the majority strategy. We'll remind you what the majority strategy is and what it's all about. And we're going to compare and contrast the majority strategy to Mitt Romney. He's been, what he's been up to the last couple of weeks, pandering to no avail at the NAACP conference, and also suggesting that Condoleezza Rice now leads as his front runner to become the vice presidential nominee of the Republican Party. You're not going to want to miss what Richard Spencer has to say about all of that as, again, we revisit the majority strategy a little later on tonight, and much, much more between now and then and even after that during the course of tonight's 3 hour live broadcast. We're going to talk a little bit to Keith tonight. Of course, he's with me, as he always is. We're going to be talking to Keith in just a few minutes about the speech he gave last week at the CFCC conference, as well as a riveting article, an enthralling article he wrote for our website this week, entitled Conservatism Loses Again. But before we get to that, I want to talk to Keith about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and we've got that pulled up here. Keith Alexander once went to go see The Help at the theater. Now, he didn't do it because he wanted to. He did it because he was writing an article, and it was a great article for thepoliticalcesspool.org. But Keith, yes, indeed, actually went and sat through The Blind Side. So, will he go see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter? Now, we told you about Django Unchained. That's the anti-white hate film that's set to be released on Christmas Day. In the official trailer of the film, you get to see a white man having his blood splattered onto cotton as the lead character, Django, states with pleasure, kill white folks and they pay you for it. What's not to like? Now, again, that gets released on Christmas Day. But it's hardly the only anti-white movie being released from Hollywood this year, and that should come as no surprise to you, our loyal audience. Get ready for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Now, it's in theaters now, Keith, so you can go check it out if you want to double dip and write an article about it. But basically, here it is in a nutshell. I'm going to turn it over to Keith for commentary. In the movie, Abraham Lincoln discovers that vampires are planning to take over the country, and he makes it his mission to eliminate them. Now, in the movie, the vampires are Confederates, of course, and they don't keep slaves for labor. They keep them as a source of food supply. That's why they were bringing them in here, so they could eat them. The tagline of the film reads, "Are you a patriot or are you a vampire?" Now, we all know how the story ends. Confederate vampires stage a final massive assault at Gettysburg and are met head-on by the Union. I kid you not. And it wasn't until Gettysburg that the Union figured out how they could kill the vampires using silver cannons instead of just regular steel cannons. And that's how the tide changed for the South. So, Keith, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, your thoughts? Will you be there? And welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks, James. No, I won't be there. Let me tell you, this whole vampire mode of operation seems to be the favorite of the left now. I guess it's since they've cast out all religion, particularly Christianity, from their having an influence on them. They've got to have something that's paranormal or spiritual in some way. So they, of course, go to the demonic, which is what vampire interest is. It's necrophilia, and it is a type of spiritual inquiry that is specifically prohibited by the Bible, by the way. So I'll just bring that out. But, you know, the real vampires are the liberals. They were back then. They are now. What has caused America to decline? The civil rights movement, criminal rights movement, radical feminism, environmentalism, the drug culture, the sexual revolution. None of these were initiatives from the John Birch Society, folks. They all came from the left. So the real vampires that are destroying America are the left. And, of course, this has it all wrong, has it backwards. The Confederates, the people who had the proper vision of the Constitution as conceived of by the Founding Fathers, they're the bad guys, the people who are grabbing power for the federal government in contravention to the principles of the original Constitution. In other words, Lincoln and the people that were under his thrall, they are the good guys in this show. So consequently, you know, if you want to see reality turned on its head, go see this movie. But this is what Hollywood is showing to the dimwits that attend movies nowadays. I think it was H.L. Mencken that said, nobody ever went broke underestimating the taste of the American public. This movie apparently is more proof of the fact that Mr. Mencken hit the nail on the head.
Well, we actually have the official trailer for this movie as well featured at our website this evening at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So go and check that out if you can stomach it. But, you know, Southerners aren't just bashed in this movie, Keith. They are bashed by the actors in this movie in their interviews about this movie in real life. It should come as no surprise that one of the stars of this film recently gave an interview in which he dismissed all Southerners, mind you, as racists, and proudly proclaimed that he is pro-sodomite. Now, here's what he said, and I read directly from the quote. This is a black man who in the movie is Abraham Lincoln's top advisor. Growing up in the South, he said, three things you grow up as, homophobic, sexist, and racist. It's just innate and in your blood as a Southerner. Growing up and going to North Carolina School of the Arts and Juilliard, a lot of my friends were gay, so that's something I wanted to deal with and move past in my own personal life. That homophobia that I was raised with in the South and that was prevalent in the community I grew up in. So all Southerners, Keith, racist, homophobic, and sexist.
Look. When homosexuality becomes a positive good, then you know it's time to have a serious, serious talk with yourself. That's what these people are doing. You know, this is Hollywood. Everything is turned on its head. You know, it's like Alice in Wonderland. This is, you know, Hollywood thinks homosexuality is preferable to heterosexuality. Hollywood is infested with homosexuals. Why, people, do you keep buying tickets to see trash like this? Why do you allow your children to see stuff like this? This is, you know, this is poison. This is pure poison. And if, you know, this is why Hollywood is raising tons of money to support the Obama reelection bid. James is giving me the high sign here. It's time to cut off. We'll get back to more of what ails America after these words from our sponsor.
Stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting started.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
It's great to be back in Memphis tonight, in a way. A little more relaxed, a little more operating at a little bit slower pace this evening, but I tell you what, I wouldn't trade last week for anything in the world. What a great crowd. If you have not caught the broadcast archive of last week's show, if you happen to miss it live, you got to do it. Go over to our archives, listen to the July 7th program. What energy, what atmosphere, what enthusiasm. It's all there for you. One of the best shows of our series, you know, the entire run. A lot of fun, and thanks to all the folks who turned up and made it such a special program. You know, I was telling you a couple of weeks ago, we were off the air playing a rebroadcast because they were doing construction here at the studio, and we're back here tonight. And Keith, as you noticed, they got us a new desk.
Only that, we're sitting in a hot tub right now. No, we're not doing that, but it's just, it feels almost like you are, because we are just in the lap of luxury here now. And if you thought that the cesspool facilities were good before, I mean, now Rush Limbaugh would be jealous.
Well, only the best for us, as you know, Keith. We have the best audience, so we might as well have a studio that reflects their luminescence. Speaking of the audience, Keith, you certainly captivated an audience of your own last week. Before the live broadcast from the Council of Conservative Citizens gathering, you gave what I thought, and of course I'm biased because you're my brother and you're a teammate here with the cesspool, but it was certainly, if not the best, easily one of the best speeches given at the confab last week. And I watched as a stream of admirers came up to Keith immediately after, and in fact for the rest of the weekend, and congratulated him for hitting such a home run. And Keith has continued to get mailed this week as a result of his remarks. Keith, for the benefit of those who weren't there, and I know it was such a busy show last week, you only had the chance to come on for a couple of segments as we were working in a parade of faces in the crowd. Give folks a nutshell version of what your talk was all about.
Well, I'm really not going to be able to recreate it because I kind of got into a spiritual jet stream there. I was just really kind of carried along with the whole process, and I think people really did appreciate it. There have been good articles. There's an article by Merlin Miller in the American Free Press. I got all sorts of mail. I got people coming up telling me how much they enjoyed it. Here's what it was about. First of all, because this convention came at the heels of a week where two big U.S. Supreme Court decisions that conservatives had quite frankly expected to win, but instead lost because of a traitor in our midst, Chief Justice John Roberts. I wanted to deal with the perennial question, why is conservatism so feckless or ineffective? Why does the left always win? Why does the left go from victory to victory? Why have we, within my lifetime, never been able to retake any ground lost in the culture war? And I started to focus on mainstream conservatives because the featured speaker at this year's Council of Conservative Citizens Convention was none other than John Derbyshire, former member of the staff at National Review and other so-called respected mainstream conservative exponents, magazines, TV shows, whatnot. And he's the latest guy to be thrown into the outer darkness because he transgressed. He didn't pay proper obeisance to the totems and taboos of political correctness. And I pointed out that chief among these are the issues of race and Jewish power and influence. And then I went in to show how they were related. I started debunking again for the audience the Brown decision and why the Brown decision is not what mainstream conservatives would have you believe it with is, which is the consummation of all things glorious and wonderful. It was basically the first step down the path to national decline. And it's really, you know, there would never have been a Roe versus Wade, for example, if there hadn't been a successful Brown versus Board of Education. And people need to understand that. And anybody who tells you that the Civil Rights Movement and the Brown decision were righteous decisions or righteous moves that needed to be made and that your ancestors were bad and evil people like the Confederate vampires in this movie that James was just reviewing here on the show, they're selling you a load of bull. And that's, I can't put it any more emphatically than that. What has happened is that liberalism is the modern face of evil. That's one of our catchphrases here at the political cesspool, and you need to really embrace that. Everything that liberalism embraces, everything that liberalism promotes, from free trade to globalism and global government to the civil rights movement to radical feminism to criminal rights to illegal alien rights to the sexual revolution to the drug culture to environmentalism to homosexual rights, these are all evil. And furthermore, none of these things was brainchild of the John Birch Society. All of this came from the left. Now, why is liberalism so effective and why is conservatism so comparatively ineffective? And the answer is one word, Jews. The liberals have the Jews on their side. And furthermore, it's probably not even accurate to say that because modern liberalism is basically a Jewish invention. It's the result. The reason liberalism has so much power, so much fangs and claws now compared to what it had in the old days. For example, people that now spin the Civil War as a victory for the abolitionists obviously don't understand history. Abolitionists were despised and a very tiny minority in America. They were the unintended beneficiaries of Lincoln's power grab to make the federal government supreme in the lives of everyday lives of Americans. They just happened to be there to pick up the fallen fruit. Now, most Americans in the antebellum period were not so in love with black people that they were willing to sacrifice their fathers, their sons, and their brothers to a crusade to free black people. But if you listen to things like this particular movie, what was the name of that movie, James?
What was the movie, Keith?
The movie that you just reviewed.
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, if you believe that, you know, that's totally inane. In fact, Joe Hooker's army, the Union General-in-Chief at the time, his army almost mutinied when they heard the Emancipation Proclamation. They said, this is not what we're fighting for. We're fighting to preserve the Union, not to free the slaves. And if we knew that we were going to war to free the slaves, by golly, we'd have never gone. They had draft rights precisely for that reason in New York City, where Irish immigrants said, why in the world, if this thing is about freeing slaves, or even has that as a incidental consequence, we don't want to have anything to do with this. Because basically what we're doing is we're making competitors for ourselves. We want these menial labor jobs, and you're going to give them to these people instead. So consequently, none of that is correct, but that's the way that the left has spun it. Now, everything that has happened in liberalism has happened since 1954, which was a watershed moment, the Brown decision. I'm sorry, some people don't like the fact that I focus on Brown, but the reason I focus on Brown is that Brown is the cornerstone of that holy of holies that is like Caesar's wife, beyond reproach to both mainstream conservatives and mainstream liberals alike, and that's the civil rights movement. Just look at a movie like The Help, for example, or look at The Blind Side. All of these things basically hark back to the idea that the civil rights movement was this holy time when everybody got it right and everybody was on the same page in America. I'm sorry, I lived in Memphis, Tennessee at that time. White Memphis was not on the same page. Neither was white Kentucky or even white Missouri at that time. A lot of people were totally opposed to it. And they were opposed to it because they were right and the people supporting it were wrong. We'll get back to more of this commentary after these words from our sponsor.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, live broadcast for a very hot and humid Saturday evening, July 14th here in Memphis, Tennessee. In the last segment, was mentioning that Keith gave, and this is an honest assessment, an absolutely mesmerizing speech at the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference last Saturday. And there in the last segment, Keith was recapping in a roundabout way some of the main talking points that he delivered. But there's something that Keith and I both want to let you know that we're absolutely clear on, so that there's no confusion. And Keith, why don't you let him know what that is?
Well, it's that we are not, you know, constitutionally or deep in our deepest core being opposed to Jewish people for being Jewish people. Our problem with Jewish people is that they are the most liberal segment of the American population that passes as white. Furthermore, they're the wealthiest. Thirdly, they're the most influential. And fourthly, they're the most likely to put their money where their mouth is in terms of social change and politics. They are the yeast that makes the dough rise in liberalism. Liberalism, modern liberalism, is basically a Jewish invention. It is really cultural Marxism. The cultural Marxists, all of the progenitors of which were Jewish, Eric Fromm, Antonio Gramsci, George Lukacs, Max Horkheimer, Wilhelm Reich, all of those type of people, Herbert Marcuse, all of those people believe that race, rather than economic class or social status, was the true fault line in society. They thought that Marx and Engels got it wrong because they thought that economic status or class status was the fault line. They said it was race, and they also recognized that every non-white race holds an unquenchable, unappeasable grudge against whites because they'd either been defeated by whites militarily or they had been dominated by them economically. And they said that that zeal, this animus that they bore towards the white race, was a much more firm foundation upon which to cast them into the role of being the proletariat or the spearhead of the revolution. They said that white working class people, for example, were totally inappropriate and just not up to the task of being the proletariat. All you had to do is wave a little bit of money in their face and they abandoned the revolution and became good bourgeois wannabes. This was not only the position of the cultural Marxists, it was the position of Leon Trotsky, who of course was the primary Jewish Bolshevik in the Bolshevik Revolution. He made the same type of speeches in the 30s at Prinkipope, Turkey, and in the United States shortly before his death at a World Communist Convention held in New York City. So consequently, they're the ones that have discovered that race is the real wedge issue. And that's what modern liberalism is based on. And how can you deny that the civil rights movement was not just by accident the opening salvo of the culture war? It was the primary salvo of the culture war. And if you have people in the mainstream like Jonah Goldberg or Charles Krauthammer or Ann Coulter, who want to tell you that somehow the liberals were right about the civil rights movement, but they've been wrong about everything else, or they were right about the civil rights movement and feminism, but they were wrong about everything else, they're conceding too much, and you'll never be able to mount an effective counterattack against liberalism so long as you believe that misinformation. That's why I keep going back to the Brown decision, because the Brown decision is fundamental. That's where you have this fairy tale about poor little black children being made to be transported across town, and they just wanted to cross the street to go play hopscotch with their friends in the neighborhood, but they couldn't do it because of nasty old segregationists. And you see where that's led us. It's led to the total and utter devolution and decay of American public education. It used to be one of the pride, one of the trademark points of pride for American society. We had one of the top public education systems in the developed world. Now we're at the bottom of the developed world, and we're at the bottom of the developed world because of school racial integration, one, specifically, and two, liberalism generally. This has to be said. You've got to confront this issue head on in debates with people in at cocktail parties in your living room or wherever you encounter them. As long as people think that the civil rights movement is good, you have conceded the high ground to the left. It's like giving them a beachhead like Omaha Beach. They can continue to rain shells down on you, and because the Jews are on their side and the Jews are the wealthiest group of Americans, they're 2.2% of the population, but they're over one-third of the Forbes 400 richest Americans, and they get involved and put their money where their mouth is in politics to an extent that is unprecedented. No other group does it to the extent they do. They've got the shells. They're not going to run out of shells. We run out of shells. We're running on a shoestring. Believe me, the ADL and the SPLC are not running on a shoestring, James.
Well, they're not, Keith, and I know it's been said before, but it should be said again from time to time because we're always welcoming new listeners, and articles about us continue to be issued anew about how we are this, that, and the other, all of which are untrue. But the fact of the matter remains is we oppose liberalism in all of its forms, and we point out who the predominant movers and shakers of liberalism are, and it just so happens to be Jewish folks. We don't dismiss Jews simply because they are Jews. We dismiss them because they're liberal, and liberalism is bad for this country. It's bad for the founding stock. It's bad for everybody except apparently them. And, of course, they say, well, it'll be bad for them in the long run after it runs its full course, but they say if you point out that Jews control the media, which of course they do, that you are an anti-Semite. Well, let's look at an article that we posted today entitled Jews Do Control the Media. It was posted earlier this week. It's an article that we actually reposted. It was written by a Jewish author. And listen to what he writes here. And I'm going to read it. Milton Friedman is his name. And I'm going to read it. Manny Friedman. And I'm going to read it to you right now. Here's what he says. If someone starts to spout off things like Jews control the media and Jews control Washington, suddenly we Jews are up in arms. We create huge campaigns to take these people down. We do what we can to put them out of work. We publish articles. We've created entire organizations that exist just to tell everyone that Jews don't control anything. No, we don't control the media. We don't have any more sway in D.C. than anyone else. No, no, no. We swear we're just like you. Does anyone else see the irony in this? Let's be honest with ourselves here, fellow Jews, he writes. We do control the media. We've got so many Jews in the executive offices of the big movie production companies, it's almost obscene. Every movie or TV show, whether it's Tropic Thunder or Curb Your Enthusiasm, is rife with actors, directors, and writers who are Jewish. Did you know that all eight major film studios are run by Jews? And I'm going to skip down. The whole article is worth a read. We obviously don't have time to read it all during this segment, but I'm going to skip down toward the end where the Jewish author continues by saying, the reason groups like the ADL and AIPAC hate admitting this is because, first of all, they're secular organizations. Their whole agenda is to prove that every Jew is the same as every other person in the world. I cannot imagine a more outlandish agenda, he writes. No, we're different. We're better. And then he goes on to conclude that the time has come. We no longer have to change our names. We no longer have to blend in like chameleons. We own the whole country. So this is a Jew writing for the Times of Israel blog, and he basically says Jews do control the media. They do have more power than anyone else in Washington, and why should they be ashamed to admit it? They shouldn't be ashamed to admit it, he writes, because they are better than us, and they deserve to have that control.
And let me tell you why he says they're better than us. It's based on the presumption that all of this liberal change, like school racial integration and the Brown decision, was good and righteous, and that they're standing up for truth, justice, and the American way. They're not at all. All of these things are destructive. David Horowitz, a Jew who was formerly the editor of Ramparts magazine back in the 60s, which was an SDS radical left publication, wrote a book where he basically is sorry and apologizes for what he did. He called the book Destructive Generation. Jews have been destructive for more than one generation. They've been destructive for every generation they've been over here because They brought to America hard left politics, anarchism, and Marxism. We hardly had any of it here before they came in the second wave of immigration from 1890 to 1920. So consequently, they are in power, they're in charge, but they have not been an influence for the good. They've been an influence for bad. They're liberal, and as we say, liberalism is the modern face of evil. On the other hand, if I could wave a magic wand and turn them all into conservatives, use their intelligence and their money and their zeal for conservatism, I'd be the biggest supporter of Jews that you've ever seen.
I couldn't put a finer point to that, Keith. Excellent summation on that topic. And when we come back from the commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to move on to, we've been talking about the speech that Keith gave at the conference last weekend. Now we're going to talk about an article that Keith wrote just a few days ago at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's entitled Conservatism Loses Again. More from Keith Alexander when we return right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the show. Let's revisit what ground we have plowed thus far. We opened the show tonight talking about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, before moving on to More serious matters, revisiting Keith's speech from the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference last week, and basically what it was all about. Jews do control the media, at least that's what they tell us. That's what they're saying, and proud of it, they might add. And Keith's article. Now, Keith has written an article entitled Conservatism Loses Again. It covers some of the same ground that his speech did last week, but it also opens up a couple of other cans of worms. Most importantly, it has opened up a very good conversational thread, a reply thread there by the listeners of this show at thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you want to join in on the conversation and leave your thoughts regarding Keith's article, please do so by visiting our official internet headquarters this evening. But Keith, let's talk about your article, what it's all about, and I know you wanted to respond to some of those who have asked questions about it.
It basically follows the same outline as my speech, and here's how it starts. Last week was a stunning contrast for us here at the Political Cesspool. The week began with two gut-wrenchingly disappointing Supreme Court decisions, one striking down Obama's illegal immigration law, Arizona's illegal immigration law, and the other ratifying the constitutionality of Obamacare. The week ended with an inspiring convention in Nashville sponsored by that stalwart fixture of the paleoconservative right, the Council of Conservative Citizens. Mingling with some of the best people on earth with minds and insights to match restored some hope to counterbalance the disappointment of earlier in the week. Taken together, the week's lesson was that even though conservatism is growing and even more insightful, educated, fearless, resourceful, and outspoken than ever, liberalism still dominates and moves from one victory to another. Throughout my lifetime, liberalism has never lost and conservatism has never retaken any ground lost in the culture war. The movement to impeach Earl Warren, to reverse the Brown decision, to reverse Roe v. Wade, and to ban affirmative action and busing on a nationwide basis have all come to naught. When all is said and done, more will be said than done. This relentless march to the left continues even though national polls show that most Americans consider themselves conservative, while those identifying themselves as liberals is shrinking. How does this occur? First of all, we were once again done in by a traitor in our midst, Chief Justice John Roberts, a presumed conservative who sold out both the good cause of conservatism and fellow conservative justices, probably for something as insignificant as his desire to see his stock rise in the Beltway cocktail party circuit. The left never seems plagued with similar turncoats. Can you imagine Sonia Sotomayor or Elena Kagan siding with conservatives on the court? Second, mainstream conservatives are feckless, primarily because they've struck a deal with the devil and have drunk the Kool-Aid of political correctness and observed the totems and taboos of political correctness in order to preserve their sinecures. John Derbyshire's recent banishment to the outer darkness by the mainstream conservative press is just the latest example of what happens to heretics, and it's a lesson not lost on the careerists who populate journals and networks like National Review, The Weekly Standard, Jewish World Review, and Fox News. Mainstream conservatism is defined by the topics it won't discuss. Chief among those are race and Jewish power and influence. How can you solve a puzzle when two of its key pieces are missing? How can you defeat an enemy you can't identify or refuse to acknowledge? If our ancestors were as confused as most mainstream conservatives and modern conservatives are today, they would have responded to the attack on Pearl Harbor by declaring war on Korea. Now, that's the beginning of the article. It goes on beyond that. But basically what we're saying in this article is that mainstream conservatism is not, it doesn't have what it takes to win the culture war, The reason it doesn't is because they don't understand political correctness was not a happenstance. It was invented by the left. And they put the topics that are crucial to victory beyond the pale. If you can't talk about race, if you can't talk about Jewish power and influence, and you can't talk about a number of other things that are considered taboo, then you've basically got nothing to talk about. You're talking about rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as the Titanic is going down. This is why you've got to break from mainstream conservatism. We get people listening to this show every week that basically were strong followers of Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh. But they realize that there's something unfulfilling and ultimately unsatisfying about those mainstream exponents of conservatism. They want to win the culture war, and they realize that the culture war is being lost because mainstream voices dominate from the right. These mainstream voices are the kept opposition. They're like sparring partners for a championship fighter. They're there to keep them toned up, but there's no danger of the sparring partner knocking out the champion or the primary fighter. See, this is why you've got to break away from that. You've got to get to groups like the Council of Conservative Citizens. You've got to get to groups like American Third Position. You've got to get to groups like American Free Press. You've got to get to groups like the Political Cesspool, Alternative Right, people like that that are not afraid to beard the lion. That's what we've got to do if we're going to win the culture war. And mainstream conservatives are part of the problem, not part of the solution. That's the main point of my article. Now, we got wonderful comments from our fans and listeners to the Political Cesspool to that article. And quite frankly, I'd like to deal with three particular criticisms, one by White Dream Chaser, one by Luke, and one by Adam. First, White Dream Chaser said he takes issue with me about eschewing the Council of Mainstream Conservatives. We've got to, they're too timid. They're not going to do it. I stand by that. I don't think you're going to win the cut, you know, and you can't ask neophyte, newbie conservatives to make the distinctions of paleoconservatives as experienced as White Dream Chaser can when they get a message from Glenn Beck where he basically talks in glowing terms about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was a reprobate. You're going to have to own that opinion. You're going to have to argue it. If you start talking about how gee whiz, golly gee, nice a bunch of communist sympathizers like Martin Luther King and the whole leadership of the civil rights movement were, then you've given away the store. You can't do that. That's going to be deadly. When you do that, you've basically allowed the left to cast conservatives as the bad guys and liberals as the good guys, and it's just the opposite way around. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to be ashamed about our parents and grandparents for. They were the stalwarts. It's the same thing with fundamentalist Christians now, adopting the opinions that are enunciated in movies like The Blind Side and The Help. Your parents and grandparents were not inferior Christians to you. They were better Christians than you. And you better start examining their positions, and you better start examining why they held those positions. There's nothing wrong with being a racial partisan for white people. Black people are racial partisans for black people. Asian people are racial partisans for their own kind. Latinos are racial partisans for Latinos. All of God's children were born with this gene. This is how our Neolithic ancestors were able to distinguish friend from foe. Why are white Gentiles denied the same cultural immune system that every other group has? And it's very obvious why. Jewish power and influence through the media, through the entertainment, through the news media, through the entertainment industry, through higher academia and otherwise, have focused on white Gentiles and white Gentiles alone. They don't insist that blacks be colorblind or Latinos be colorblind or Jews be colorblind or ethnic blind, whatever you want to call it. They only insist on us being colorblind. Why? Because they're plotting our destruction and downfall. And you need to understand why, you know, if the left is so into equality and tolerance, why is there no tolerance for white Gentiles? Why are we denied equal treatment and equal rights along with every other group to have a sense of racial solidarity? That's the point. Now, let's go on to Luke's comment. Luke, I think, was, I'm trying to figure out what was his comment. Let's scroll it down there if we can just a moment and see.
You have to tread water until I can find it.
Okay, well, basically, I think what Luke was talking about was I need to stop being so fixated on the Brown decision. Well, I'm fixated on the Brown decision because that was the watershed moment. That was the planting of the mustard seed that grew not just into a mustard plant that's taken over the garden. It has grown into the blob that's taken over the earth. liberalism. And we've got to understand and identify the source of the problem. And we've got to distinguish ourselves from those mainstream conservatives that continually want to tell you that the civil rights movement was good when it was bad, bad, bad.
All right, and with that, ladies and gentlemen, our first hour has come to a close, but don't worry. There's still two more forthcoming tonight before it's all said and done, and Keith Alexander will be back with me right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned. The Political Cesspool rolls on in just a few minutes here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
1 hour down and two to go. Stay tuned. Hour number two of The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 8th.